Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Screen Geeks Radio. This is Dave.
And this is Barry.
It feels like it's been a really long week. It feels like it's been more than a week since we've done this show.
Yes, it has been a long week. But hey, it's okay. The summer movie season has begun, and we'll be talking all about Iron Man. And
I thought the main topic was going to be Maid of Honor.
Well, I wanted it to be, but you said we couldn't talk about it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay, well.
Remember we had that big fight about it, and I'm like, fine, Iron Man, okay.
Yeah, I know, stupid, crappy movie. All right, let's go ahead and talk about what hit theaters besides Iron Man.
Besides Iron Man, in limited release, we had Son of Rambo, which I've heard terrific things about, Patrick Dempsey and Michelle Monaghan in Maid of Honor, and Iron Man.
Oh, yes.
That's it.
Iron Man. Okay, so you saw Maid of Honor. We'll get to Iron Man since that's going to be our main topic, but... What did you think?
Pleasant surprise. You know, on one hand, yes, it's predictable. It is formula, but they do a lot with it. This is one of those romantic comedies where they kind of really mess with your expectations and turn on your head a lot. Patrick Dempsey and Michelle Monaghan are really, really good in this. They're both in good form. It's really funny. Good romantic comedy. There's a sequence where Patrick Dempsey has to perform in the Scottish Highland Games, and it's a funny, funny set piece. So I got to say, of all the romantic comedies I've seen, that you're like, as far as chick flicks go, this is one that men will not mind sitting through. It's actually very good.
Cool. So we won't want to like kill ourselves or anything.
No. Yeah, there's a lot of other bad choices you can make, but this is like, for those who think that Forgetting Sarah Marshall is just a little too heavy, Maid of Honor is definitely the preferable summer movie, movie choice.
Heavy as in like the wrong kind of sense of humor?
Yes. Okay. Yes, yeah. Like Forgetting Sarah Marshall is, I wouldn't say much of a date movie, but this is a really good date movie and just a really good movie. I can see why they open it up against Iron Man. It's a really good counter programming.
Cool. Right on. Sweet. So while we were seeing Iron Man, other girls were going to see... Maid of Honor.
Yes, and if you have to make up for that, like, okay, I'll take you to make a Maid of Honor if you go see
feature.
Iron Man. Yeah, it's a worthwhile double feature. It really is.
Cool, right on. All right, and then let's talk about what DVDs are hitting this Tuesday.
This Tuesday, you've got one of last year's worst movies. Speaking of a bad love story.
How many of last year's worst movies have we got? Oh, no, that's next week. That's next week's DVDs.
That's right. Yeah, P.S. I Love You, one of the worst of 2007. Hilary Swank, Gerard Butler, you think you couldn't go wrong? Well, wait till you see the movie. Bob Dylan's bizarre biography, I'm Not There, with everybody from Cate Blanchett, Heath Ledger, and Christian Bale. The stars of The Dark Knight. How about that? The only
and Iron Man.
And that's right. The only DVD release that matters. No, not This Island Earth, but Mystery Science Theater 3000, the movie, taking on This Island Earth.
Oh, yes. I used to own it on VHS. And
man, that VHS be like, what, like $50, $60 now?
Something I mean, like that. It's one of those sought after movies. I don't remember what I did with it, but yeah. Oh, yeah. It's such a good movie.
It's a great movie. Ice Cube and First Sunday. It's okay if you never heard of it. I don't think anybody even saw it. Speaking of movies no one saw, Eva Longoria and Paul Rudd in Overhead Dead Body, which lived up to its title. I think the thing was DOA after like one weekend. Kathleen Turner and John Waters' Serial Mom, the special edition. Fun.
It's fun. Very cool.
Incredibly bad taste, but where else can you see Patty Hearst and Kathleen Turner in the same movie? And finally, He-Man and She-Ra in The Secret of the Sword on DVD. I remember that was in theaters for about 5 seconds back in the 80s.
Oh, yeah. Goodness. Oh, yeah. And then when they showed it on TV, I watched it.
Right. And they showed it in all like five parts. Yeah, it was great.
Very cool. Yes. Yes, indeed. All right. Well, shall we move on to some news?
Please. Yeah,
should we just get the trailers done with?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Okay. Well, there were three big trailers. Were there four?
Maybe.
There were four.
Okay.
Because we had... Okay, let's start off with the Indiana Jones 4 trailer.
Yes.
I'd been iffy about seeing it. I'm now officially excited to see Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
So the teaser trailer didn't sell it for you?
It was kind of, hey, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But this trailer just, it sold me on it. I can't wait. See, I didn't even call it Castle Grayskull or anything. I actually got the name right because I care now.
Very nice. You've said it enough times.
Yes. I'm really excited for it.
Awesome.
It's a fun, good trailer.
Yeah, it really is, and I love that. It's more of just an expansion of what we already seen. It doesn't really, no spoilers. I love that, you know, what the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull is, they don't give that away. It's kind of nice that there's still all this stuff that we have yet to know what the heck the movie's about.
I still kind of have to roll with Billy Flynn that it's probably an alien skull. That's kind of my
guess. Oh, yeah. I think, you know, and I think Lucas and Spielberg hinted at that in the Vanity Fair interview, too. But I'm excited for that change. I love that. It's probably going to mess with a lot of people's expectations.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's going to be a good time. Then we had the Happening trailer.
That is a really solid trailer.
Yeah, it came out. I mean, it hit online earlier, but it was showing in front of Iron Man. All four of these trailers showed before Iron Man.
Yes.
So it was it was almost worth seeing just for the trailers for get the movie.
Yeah, no kidding.
But yeah, I'm excited to see this.
Very creepy. Yeah, the whole notion of what the three stages of the Happening are.
I like that they didn't give away what it is, even though you can tell by the trailers. if you kind of don't want to think about it too much, you can miss it.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah, truly. It looks really creepy. It's funny, like the imagery is like right out of his other movies, like the bit on the train, like that looks kind of like Unbreakable. The bit where the cop is walking to the car looks like The Sixth Sense. Like you can see all his directorial flourishes there, but yeah, I think it looks like a Shyamalan return to form, and I love that it's R. I love that it's a hardcore R movie.
You don't have Shyamalan talking for like half the trailer either.
And hopefully, according to IMDb, he's not in this one. So
yeah, he might have like the quick cameo or something.
I'll take the cameo over the supporting role as the screenwriter whose script is going to save humanity.
Exactly. So that's a very good choice.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Incredible Hulk trailer since they're opening the same weekend. I enjoyed the trailer, but I have to say I'm more excited to see The Happening.
Yeah, me too.
The new trailer is pretty good. I love seeing the Hulk using a car, two halves of a car's boxing gloves.
Yes.
Brilliant touch. I kind of like the fact that they're going away from the comics in a way, and it looks like they're moving more towards the 70s TV show with Bill Bixby.
Right, it's more of a chase film.
And you know, and the fact that they put the piano theme at the end, that just made me happy.
Yeah, very nice. I'll admit it.
But yeah, it's a pretty solid trailer. It's just, I don't know that I really care about the Hulk that much.
Likewise. And the whole bit with him going up against the evil Tim Roth at the end, it's like, Abomination. Is that the climax of the movie? Or,
probably.
I mean, I feel like the trailer is summing up the whole movie for me. Like,
now, if they did World War Hulk, I'd be there in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's an amazing story.
But, like Planet Hulk and all that, yeah.
Yeah, that it will never happen. But, well, I mean, if this movie really takes off, it's possible. And I'll go see it. I just am not going to be in a huge rush to see it.
Yeah, but up against The Happening, yeah, I'm like yourself. I want to see it, but really, if I had to choose right now between one of them, it's got to be The Happening.
Exactly. And then finally, we have the new Dark Knight trailer. Not the Jokerized version that we posted earlier this week, but the actual clean version. And it is amazing.
Looks solid.
Especially, we saw it on the DLP projection screen. And I'm telling you, that is the beautiful, that's the way to watch any movie. Oh, sure. My goodness. Yeah. Even though it's not the big theater, quote unquote, still, it looked really good. And, you know, as if I wasn't excited enough, I can't wait.
Is this your pick for the biggest hit of the summer, you think?
I think so.
Yeah.
It seems like it's got the most buzz behind it. A lot of it's because of the viral marketing.
Yes. What a brilliantly marketed movie. I mean, Warner Brothers has really been over backwards to do something really clever and inventive that everybody's been getting involved in and they could be a part of. It started last year with Comic-Con, giving away the whole Joker thing. It's been really taken off.
In a way, you'd think that a geek had come up with this, even though it's a marketing scheme, but it's just a very well thought out and very well developed one.
Yeah.
So, and I think, you know, we can all appreciate something that's just pulled off. I mean, the execution on this thing has been flawless.
Oh yeah, even with having the beginning of the Dark Knight attached to I Am Legend, it's like everything they've done with this has just been so good and getting you excited in different ways for this movie. I mean, it really is one of the best marketed summer movies in a long time.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because the Joker side kind of lets you know in on the fact that it's a movie, but the Harvey Dent side of it has been playing it straight the entire time,
right,
too.
Yeah, so that's
it's kind of fun to see both sides of that coin too. Pardon the pun there, but.
Yeah. Oh, very good pun.
That kind of hurt. I'll let you go ahead, sir, since, yeah.
Oh, well, last week we had the remake of The Fury coming out. Well, the remake news continues. On one hand, a few official pictures came out from The Last House on the Left remake. Very creepy-looking cast, basically just the real...
Didn't they like just cast the parents this week? It's like
they cast the parents and they cast the killers, and I think they actually have the young girl who's the victim.
Yeah.
I guess to briefly summarize, I don't even like talking about the plot because it's a remake of a Bergman movie, the original Last House on the Left. It's Wes Craven's first film, and it's the same plot as Ingmar Bergman's the Virgin Spring. I think two people are going to know and care about that. It's about the Last House.
We talk about Criterion DVDs. People are going to know.
Okay, there you go. All right, yeah. And if you've seen the Virgin Spring, it's got like a 70s version of that. Last House on the Left is about these two girls. They go to a rock concert. They're hoping to score some weed. They hook up with a car full of teens. The teens take them out to the woods. They rape and murder these girls. The evil teens stop at a house just because they're exhausted and need a place to stay for the night. They stay at this nice doctor and his wife's house, not realizing it's the parents of the girl they killed. And the parents figure out really quick that these are the killers, and they basically wreak havoc. So that's
funny games in reverse.
Kind of. Yeah, as you just said, there's definitely comparisons there. But yeah, they posted pictures up of the new cast, and they look creepy. It looks like it'll work. I don't know. I can't tell from the pictures if it's going to be a modern day or if they're actually going to do a period piece with it. I can't say that I'm a big fan of the Wes Craven movie. It's a really ugly, unpleasant little exploitation film, and I think that's exactly what he meant it to be. But, you know, again, remake we don't really need.
Who'd ever thought Bergman... redone as an exploitation flick.
Yeah, Bergman redone by Craven being redone. Yeah, so it's
by fill in the blank hack here.
Right.
Oh, wait, sorry. No, I kind of meant that. Let me just bring up one thing, something we normally would never, ever mention. The Twilight cast photo has come
out. Yeah,
yeah. Something that looks like a marketing ploy for the latest WBCW TV show, which, I mean, I didn't even know that this was based off of books. But apparently there was another thread over at firstshowing.net. It's kind of entertaining to read, so I'll put up a post to it. But they didn't have, I think it was Kevin Powers put it up, didn't have the best reaction to it, and the fans came out of the woodwork.
Mm.
Not in the best way either. It's like, oh my gosh, you got to read the book. And it's like, look, we don't care. So it looks stupid. And then finally some people came on and like, yeah, the picture looks bad, but honestly the casting looks like it's spot on. And there's a big following behind this series. So I don't know. If there's a lot of good buzz around it, like actual critics I respect or something say it's good, I might check it out.
When we were at Starfest, I saw some posters for the Twilight book series. So apparently it really does have a following. Like yourself, I'm not a fan. I'm not familiar with it. I've never read it. But it's like a teen vampire series?
Vampire book series. It is marketed towards teen girls, but apparently there are some guys who like it. So, you know, good for them. But it just doesn't quite look like our cup of tea, is how I'll put it. I'm not going to dog it, but it just doesn't look like something that will probably most likely be appealing to us.
Well, you know, teaser trailers are everything. If they sell it, hey.
And that's going to be in front of Speed Racer, so.
Okay.
So go ahead, sir.
Very good. Well, the last bit of news I have. Some unfortunate news. Just a tie-in with this. A few days ago, I saw the Prom Night remake. Out of morbid curiosity, I thought, that wasn't that good. I wonder what that director's doing next. Well, turns out he's the guy who's doing the remake of The Stepfather coming out next year, October of 2009. Stepfather, one of my favorite thrillers from the 80s, the movie that really everybody knows Terry O'Quinn from his performance in Lost and the X-Files movie, but he's extraordinary in the original The Stepfather. And the remake starring Dylan Walsh is coming out in October, and it's from the director of the Prom Night remake. So,
okay, then.
YeWow. So it's, yeah.
I guess I'll talk about it. I've actually got three more stories, so I'll just crank through them. First of all, First Blood, Rambo First Blood, is coming out in theaters for one night only, May 15th. It's one of these Fathom events type things.
Yeah.
But apparently they're showing the alternate ending.
Oh, okay. I've seen the alternate ending.
Have you? Okay, yeah, so you know that.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, okay, yeah, so I'm not going to spoil that for anyone who may know.
Yeah, it's very good for those who are Rambo fans and always wanted to see this ending that they heard about. Yeah, it's a pretty stunning ending.
Absolutely, yes. And then Ian McKellen has confirmed he's going to be in The Hobbit. I think the buzz is starting too early on this, honestly. I'm starting to feel a little bit of Hobbit fatigue already.
Mm.
I'm looking forward to it. I'll see it, but I'm just kind of, just let me know when there's production going on, and then I'll start to kind of sort of get excited from step photos and go from there.
Yeah, because, you know, when they started promoting the original Lord of the Rings, it was kind of quiet, and it really wasn't until the initial teaser trailer came out that it really started to explode. But prior to that, it was like just some photos and just the cast announcements. It seems like they were doing a really good job of kind of keeping it in check. But I agree with you. It feels like the
presidential candidates announcing their candidacy 2 years ago, and we're still hearing about them now.
Exactly. That's it should be like Watchmen, where it's like kind of slowly, slowly building. That movie feels like it hasn't been too overhyped yet. But yeah, I agree with you. It feels like The Hobbit, like they're really starting to make this thing into an event that we're not going to see for at least 2 years now.
Well, and the reality is there's no way you can stop the hype. People are getting excited for this. I can't wait. But don't be surprised if we don't report every single thing on it, is all I'll say.
And all I got to say is keep your expectations in check. Guillermo del Toro is a fine director, but he's not Peter Jackson, which isn't to say he's better or worse, just to say this is going to be a different movie. And I think the more we're prepared for that, I think the better we will be accepting The Hobbit.
Exactly. Yes, true. Finally, Josh Schwartz, the writer of Gossip Girl, is apparently writing an X-Men type movie about the younger mutants at Xavier's Academy. And
do we need this? Do we need to know?
I would love to see a New Mutants movie. Don't get me wrong. Apparently it's going to be based around lesser known characters, so probably not characters from the movie. But essentially the interview came across as, you know, I do have some respect for this, and hey, they're giving me a lot of money to do this.
Oh, great.
Because that's what I want to hear about someone making a movie about characters I care about.
So it's a Hollywood whore, essentially, who's writing a screenplay of a movie that we really don't necessarily need, but it's going to have the X-Men attached to it, so.
Yes.
Maybe have a cameo by Ian McKellen or.
Actually, I'm guessing they'll end up having Michael Rosenbaum be Xavier. I don't know. Because he just quit Smallville, so.
That's right.
Let's bring this up since we were bringing up the crap bus. Michael Rosenbaum, I thought, was the only interesting slash entertaining part of Smallville.
Yeah.
To be really realistic, I didn't watch much of the Oliver Queen stuff. I quit after about season three. I just couldn't handle anymore. But I heard the Green Arrow stuff's cool. But Michael Rosenbaum has quit. He's going on to other things. Everyone knew it was coming. But the story is who they're bringing back and who they're bringing into Smallville. I can understand that they play with continuity here and there. But bringing in Doomsday to Smallville, really?
It doesn't make any sense to me.
Why even bother having him become Superman if you're going to have him fight everybody already? Why not bring in Darkseid? Let's just go ahead and do that too. And Jump the Shark doesn't even begin. I was thinking about checking it out again, but after hearing this news, I will never watch it ever again.
That's very odd, because I've loved the guests that they've had on Smallville, and I've liked Smallville over the years, certainly more than yourself, but I agree, the show is spotty at best, but I love that they brought Helen Slater, who played Supergirl, onto the show. They brought... Yes. What's her name? Annette O'Toole from Superman 3. I love
that, yes.
Yeah, I love that kind of...
That casting choice made me... Happy as happy could be. First episode I saw, I was like, holy crap. And Steph didn't, she hadn't seen Superman, so she didn't know.
Sure, yeah.
So, but yeah.
But yeah, the fun stuff like that. But no, I agree with you. It seems like, they're just kind of loading it up with stuff that, on one hand, it's fanboy fun. But on the other hand, it's like, does that work? Is the continuity there? Is it just too forced? Are they just trying to inject something just to make the show continue to go?
Everything else you can kind of deal with it as an Elseworlds type thing. Yeah. But bringing in Doomsday is just a little... Okay, it's a lot too much.
Sure.
Idiotic. Okay. So we have a lot of supporters of this show, and we appreciate them, but we've been a bit remiss to not talk about them as very much lately. So we did a few shout-outs last week, but there are more that I want to do this week just because there are people who support us who do really good stuff. First of all, I mean, what sparked this is the fact that I realized I'd never really talked about how much I love Chris Stipp's Trailer Park column over at Quick Stop Entertainment. The thing's well worth reading. It comes out every Friday. Definitely check it out. He's a big supporter of our site. But, you know, reading the way, essentially what the column is when he's not interviewing people, he's looking at new trailers that come out and giving his own take on them. And it's a really well thought out column because he brings out, you know, who's in it, what the plot is, and whether he thinks it has a positive or negative effect on the film. And he just lays it out there. He doesn't just say, oh, this sucks, and that's it. He really lays out what he thinks and why he thinks it. It's a really good read if you like trailers. So, and he's just fun to read because, I mean, the guy, you never know who the guy's going to have next lined up to talk to. Next, we do their commercials every week, and you'll hear it in a few minutes, but the Geek Radio Daily guys, good friends of ours, if you aren't listening to them, seriously, what the heck's wrong with you? 15 minutes a day, it does get your geeky goodness going. And GRD Weekly is a very fun show to listen to in case you want that longer chunk as well. I only got a couple left, I promise. I got to give a quick shout out to Brad Rust from Horror Fest. We talked about Starfest and everyone out there who helped us out. He kept me in the loop on so much stuff, and he's just a good guy, and I'm looking forward to hanging out with him next year. And so, yeah, what is up, Brad? Finally, last two. We got Ford Austin, Simon Brzezinski, and Jed Rowan. We did this interview with them at Attitude for Destruction. I don't know that we've done a more fun interview than when we did with those guys.
Yeah.
And, just really appreciate their support. I didn't know this. Jed's been in like 50-some movies plus, easily. We were his first interview.
Wow.
So, like, we're, like, extremely honored in that respect.
We were Jed's first. That's
okay,
pretty
then.
Cool.
I'm going to leave that alone. And finally, the great Mark Luigi. We just met him this last year at Starfest.
Yes.
But the guy's really got a heart for... He's a geek. He's one of us. And actually, the Pit and the Pendulum DVD is going to be coming out, I believe, in June. And I think in the next couple, or probably 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to end up having him on the show to talk about making a stop-motion feature, which is extremely cool. We never get this kind of access to a filmmaker. And I know we're both really excited about it.
Yeah, this is a if you guys have seen what we've seen, this movie is fantastic. So just having him on the show, it was a thrill to meet him. It'd be thrilled to have him back.
Absolutely. So we cannot wait for that. But let's go ahead and, with all the pimping aside, let's go ahead and take a quick break. But then we will be right back.
Ellen Greenblatt is a real person, not an internet celebrity. So we've enlisted Billy Flynn and the Vicar to help her tell her story.
Geek Radio Daily gives me geeky news about movies, new DVD releases, even comics and gaming.
Geek Radio Daily makes me feel special.
Ah, yeah.
Womanly.
Yeah.
Okay, so the episodes are just 15 minutes, perfect for my commute or for just geeking out while I'm at the office.
Mm. All in one concise love package.
Ooh, the package, baby.
Uh-huh. And the best part is that it's a daily cast, so I'm always in the loop.
Sometimes I listen to it out of the bath, put on little outfits.
It makes me want to invite all my friends over to show how refreshed I feel.
A slumber party, baby.
What? That's not what I said.
Get out the
chocolate mousse.
Duct tape.
Oh, get out of here, you freaks.
Geek Radio Daily. One 15-minute podcast provides 15% of the USDA recommended daily allowance of geeky goodness. Subscribe through iTunes or visit geekradiodaily.com.
Such a disturbing yet glorious trailer, bumper, commercial. Yeah.
Good stuff.
Almost as good as I just heard yesterday Jonathan Coulton's song about the 1st of May, which can't even remotely be mentioned on this show without giving us an explicit tag by itself. But if you like some wrong, funny music, I'd highly suggest checking it out. But this week, since we're kind of lazy, but yet mostly because we were going to take a lot of time talking about this anyway.
Yes, well, we'll talk about Iron Man. I wanted to ask you really quick, though, just because I got to give a shout-out to my buddies in Hawaii. Did you do anything for May Day, May 1st?
I didn't do a darn thing.
Okay, because it's like the big day where we celebrate Hawaiian history. It's a Hawaiian monarchy, like everything about Hawaii. And it's like the day where everybody, like, not only do they have festivities, but like we wear aloha shirts and stuff. And
I thought you were going to say we have Festivus. I don't know why. But.
For the rest of us. No, I woke up and I was ready to put on an aloha shirt and shorts, and it was snowing freezing cold here. So
that's right. It was 77 one day, and then we had a blizzard. Like you couldn't see out the window the next morning.
It was really bad. Yeah, it was snowing like crazy. Yeah, so my May Day blue this year. But on to Iron Man.
Yes.
Yeah, let's talk about Iron Man. And
there may be some spoilers in here.
Yes, yes.
If so, we're going to probably only talk about for about 10 minutes or so. Then we'll move on to stuff. So skip ahead about 10 minutes from here.
Yes, yes.
Holy crap. I said this before you jump ahead. I will say this. This may not be this isn't like complete knock it out of the park. It's very close. I loved it. I loved every second of it. This is the first movie of the summer season. If this was the best movie of the summer season, I would call this summer a rousing success.
Yes.
Absolutely. Okay, now go ahead and skip ahead. All right, you gone? All right, this last chance. Seriously. Yeah, Greedo shoots first. Okay, I don't know.
Gave it away, man.
Yes.
Yeah, well, we won't get too heavily into spoilers, but I will say, I think this is the most enjoyable superhero movie since Superman Returns. You know, I'm hoping that...
I know there's a lot of people who don't like Superman Returns. We do, so and that's take
understandable.
It from that perspective.
Exactly, yeah, and that's okay. That's understandable. But no, this is everything I hoped it would be.
Even better than Batman Begins?
No, but Batman Begins was before Superman Returns. That's
was
why
it?
I was... Yeah,
okay.
It was 05 and Superman
Returns. Okay,
that's right. But no, I mean, you know, and I'm hoping that Dark Knight will either do another solid or be even better than this. But no, you're absolutely right. Considering like last year we had Spider-Man 3, which couldn't have been more disappointing.
Yeah. Talk about starting the summer with a bang.
Yeah. And then like a few years back, like May 2nd, it was like The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and XXX State of the Union, you know.
And I enjoy Hitchhiker's Guide.
I enjoy
but
Hitchhiker's
I completely understand
too.
It's a flawed film and it's not for everybody.
Yeah, yeah. It's hit and miss. I liked it too, but it's hit and miss. But this is fantastic.
Is a solid hit all the way through.
Yeah.
I mean, the end, I know some people were kind of bummed about the ending. They wanted the fight to go longer.
Yeah.
That's all I will say. But I was okay with it.
I was too.
The thing starts off, seriously, with a bang. I mean, you got the Jeep, you got the pictures, boom. I mean, 5 minutes in the thing, you got your first big explosion.
Yeah, I don't think the ending was that bad. I mean, it's a little like the one in RoboCop 2, to tell you the truth. That kind of... But I didn't mind it. I didn't mind it because I thought the closing scenes were so good that I didn't think the climax ruined it. I mean, that is one, I think, of one of the weaker things about Superman Returns. I thought the special effects kind of took over at the end. Whereas in this one, yeah, it's very elaborate, but it never felt like we were losing the sight of the movie. And the movie never forgot that it was about these characters and it wasn't just about the special effects.
Most definitely. That's the crazy thing is that the effects are amazing. Everyone's been saying they're flawless, they're seamless. You can't tell what's CGI, what's not. You can't tell. I've been having this beat into my head for the past week. I wouldn't be able to tell in a heartbeat. I couldn't. Like, even the flying sequences looked realistic in that Firefly kind of way where, you know, things weren't done too smoothly. It gave a very real feel to all the scenes.
Yes. The special effects are fantastic, and yet, on the other hand, I think the best scenes in the movie didn't have any special effects in them. I loved all the character stuff.
I don't know, when he's testing the rocket pack.
That's an awesome scene. I loved...
10%, 3, 2, 1...
Yeah, it was awesome. My favorite scene in the movie is the one with... talk about it as delicately as I can, the scene where Robert Downey Jr. is on the couch and then Jeff Bridges kind of sneaks up on him. I like, wow, that's the acting, that scene was so fantastic, and I loved the whole movie. Bridges masterfully underplays. Like, this is the kind of the role really could have, like, really turned into mustache twirling villainy, but he played it so well that he made this guy real as opposed to, like, some cartoon villain. I love that about it.
Yes, he was most certainly amazing. And I think the other scene that I loved a lot was when you had Robert Downey Jr. and Gwyneth Paltrow out on the balcony.
Yeah.
And the payoff for that scene later in the movie. Like, that scene by itself would have been okay, but the fact that there's this really great payoff at the end of the movie, it's little touches that like that that make this movie so good.
Yeah, that's why it's so special. I agree. It's the performances are so good. The character scenes are so good that when he was an Iron Man, I was still completely enthralled. All the opening scenes of him in the cave were fantastic.
Yes, they were downright amazing. I mean, it's something that could have been and should have been very boring in a lot of other people's hands. I think this really shows Jon Favreau's capability as a director. And other people have said it, the fact that he let the effects get out of the, you know, step into the limelight once in a while when they needed to be. Again, that's the show, that's the sign of someone who really knows what they're doing and knows how to tell a story.
Yeah. Yeah, no question. And the cast, I mean, we can go on and on about how good Downey Jr. is. I think bottom line is he not only owns this role, but he brings so much to it that makes it so special. It really does live up to the hype. This is like him and this is like Johnny Depp in Pirates of the Caribbean. He brings so much more to the role than maybe was there. But he's surrounded by fantastic actors. I thought Terrence Howard was great. Gwyneth Paltrow, I don't think has been this appealing and this sexy in years, if at all, ever before.
She was
fantastic in this movie.
She's absolutely adorable and cute and still, yes.
Yeah, and I've always liked her, but I can't remember the last time I've liked her this much in a movie. And Bridges, I mean, he hits a solid almost every single time, but this is another career high for him of many, many.
Yes, it is. I almost wonder if Robert Downey Jr. really immersed himself a ton in Tony Stark and Iron Man, just reading the comics and stuff. Because after the movie, Steph and I were driving home, and I was like, you know, this could set up. He's already set up the personality perfect for if they were to actually do a Civil War movie. They never will. It's far too broad in scope, and it'd just be far too complex to try to pull off and get all the characters. But he plays the character that true that you can see the alcoholism's going to come. You can see the self-righteousness that's going to come into play.
Yeah.
You know, in many ways, it is an extension of the comic book character. Now, I think a lot of it's because of Downey's personal demons, obviously.
Yes.
He was able to come from a place that a lot of people can't. And I think he really let that, he let that fill out Tony Stark in a lot of ways.
You're absolutely right. Without doting on the issue, truly, I mean, I think there's a lot of Robert Downey Jr.'s past in the role. Just like you see Tony Stark go through this change, and I think that has a lot to do with the psychological and emotional and physical change that Downey Jr. himself went through. And the fact that he brings that to the character and, you know, brings this genuine rawness and a genuine poignancy and heartfeltness to this character is what makes this one of the things that makes this movie so special.
Yes, there were so many things great. I love Favreau as being the background character.
Yeah.
I know he's a beloved character, and I feel awful because I can't remember the character's name.
I can't remember it either.
But getting Terrence Howard to play Rhodey, the fact that they put Rhodey in the movie made me so happy. And that one little nod when he looks at what's going to end up being the War Machine armor and saying, next time, baby.
Oh, yeah, that was nice.
Oh, my gosh. But he played that character as someone who does have the dual roles of having to be the government liaison and still try to be Tony's friend.
Right.
And it's like you said, every single casting bit that they did was done so spot on.
Yeah.
I mean, Terrence Howard, he's showing himself to be an amazing actor because he's great in everything he's doing now.
Yeah. Yeah, so, even if the movie is lousy, like The Brave One, which I just recently saw. That was a lousy movie, but he was great in that movie. So
yes, and Gwyneth Paltrow, absolutely. She was great in it. You just couldn't help but smile every time she came on the screen.
Yeah, and she and Downey Jr. had a terrific chemistry. You know, and for me, she really was the wild card. It's like, is she going to work in a movie like this? But no, she was fantastic. One of the highlights in the movie.
And like you said, Obadiah Stane. I mean, Jeff Bridges just really did a great job playing him, and
he completely nailed it.
When
anybody
he
else
to get bad, he got bad.
Exactly. Anybody else would have gone over the top or overdid it, but he just found the right note for every scene. And the fact that he underplayed it made him so much more scary and menacing. I thought, rather than like ha ha ha, you know, like over the top. And
yeah, he didn't get that way until the end.
Until the very end, where it was kind of merited. So yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the stuff that I know you thought it was a little too long.
I can't put my there are some movies. You're like, look, this movie's just too long. They could have cut out parts from here, here, and here. I just feel like there were parts in Iron Man that I was sitting there and I'm like, you know, this isn't going to play as well the second time around when I watch it.
Mm.
I'm still going to love the movie. Don't get me wrong at all. But there were some scenes that there were some spots where it felt like, okay, this is kind of getting kind of long. At the same time, it's kind of hard to pin down what do you take out because the movie is so full of story and integral story at that.
Yeah.
If you look at the other superhero movies, Spider-Man 1, it's the running gag. Every single first superhero movie is the origin story.
Yeah.
This is the first time in a superhero movie where I think you can legitimately make the argument that you had to have this story first.
Sure.
Because it is so integral to establishing the character.
Right.
With a lot of movies, I mean, I think even with Spider-Man, you could get away with just doing a couple flashbacks here and there and get going. X-Men kind of really wasn't too much of an origin story.
Yeah, it really wasn't.
But, you know, it's... This is like the origin story done to perfection as far as I'm concerned. So,
yeah,
just something I throw out there.
No, sure, absolutely. I agree with that. It's a lengthy movie, but honestly, I didn't want it to end. I was kind of bummed out when I know, oh, this is the last scene. Aw.
As soon as the lights came up, I'm like, when's the sequel? Which apparently it's already been nailed down for 2010.
That quick?
Yeah.
Wow, 2 years. Shoot. Well, you know, but on one hand, I don't know. Like, I know everybody's really worked up about the last scene of the movie. And, you know, and it's very cool.
It's a cool touch.
It's very cool. But I'm just trying to focus on just how great this one movie is. And if it is years off between now and the sequel or whatever, I just want to focus on just how much I love this movie. And I think this movie is a standalone film. And I don't care if Spider-Man 2 does or doesn't, excuse me, if Iron Man 2 doesn't work. I think this movie is really one of the best. And I liked it better than all three of the Spider-Man movies put together, to tell you the
absolutely.
Truth.
I liked it better than the X-Men movies. Batman is like the only one that's kind of,
yeah.
And it's kind of interesting. Neither of those people really have superpowers.
Mm.
The difference is that the playboy that Bruce Wayne pretends to be is just who Tony Stark is.
Yeah.
He just has a bit of a conscience now. I love the end when he has to make the announcement, you know, about his bodyguard, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, yeah, screw that. I'm Iron Man. I was expecting him to, like, try to play along to the comic storyline. But it's a deviation that was, I loved it.
Yeah, it'd be interesting if they do pick that up for the next one. Interesting to see where they go with that. But yeah, it was very nice.
Yes. So a little bit of character development wise, where do you think the next one's going to go?
Well, I can almost see it going in the Spider-Man 2 direction where I think people are really going to want... I think the cast and the crew is really going to want to see that relationship between Pepper and Tony develop. I think
the alcoholism is going to come into the next movie.
I think it kind of has to. They hint at it in this one. I think it's really going to take off. I can see the next one being darker. Yeah.
You say hinted at. This is one thing I loved. They never talk about how much Tony drinks. But there isn't a scene when he's, like, not in prison, you know, in Afghanistan, where he doesn't have a drink in his hand of some sort.
Yeah, he's like Dean Martin. He's always got something nearby.
Exactly. And in a way, this is a really smart way. I forget where I read this, but it was absolutely freaking brilliant that him revealing himself as Iron Man sets him up with a whole lot more pressure, which could drive him to the alcoholism a whole heck of a lot quicker.
Sure.
Which at the end could set up someone else stepping into armor for the third movie.
That's right. Here's a question. Is that house real or is that a CGI effect? I want to see that house.
It looks like the house in Charlie's Angels.
You think?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. You're right. It's the one with Sam Rockwell was in it. Yes. Yeah, okay.
I'm sure there were some CGI enhancements here and there. But
that house is like, gosh, I want to see that house. That house is gorgeous. I want to live in that house. I want to see that house.
Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. So have we got anything else to talk about with Iron Man? Because we're just about at our 10 minutes anyway. So.
Oh, no. I think we've done enough. And I'm sure it'll come up because really, like you said, this set the bar so high.
This is looking at top 10 list at the end of the year material very easily.
Yeah absolutely. And as for the summer, I mean, you know, you're absolutely right. It can't get any better for a first one out of the box this good. And I think inevitably, you know, everything else that comes after would be like, was it Iron Man? Was it up to Iron Man?
And that's what I think is going to happen with the Hulk. That's what you're seeing already. Before I even saw the movie, I'm like, Iron Man's going to be so much cooler.
But Iron Man is in the Hulk, though.
That's true. Tony Stark is in it, isn't he?
Yes.
It's not going to be enough, though.
Well,
unless you get Sam Jackson, too.
It could help that movie. It could help the film a lot. But
it could, that's for the completionist.
That was probably the idea of like, well, you know, we're kind of having some problems. Let's put Robert Downey Jr. in the movie and see if it helps. That helps the box office.
Quite the possibility, yes. So let us know what you thought of Iron Man. Yeah, because we're kind of curious. I haven't heard anyone say, well, except for, you know, the usual trolls were like, oh, that movie sucked. But I haven't heard anyone like backing themselves up and saying this movie is awful and here's why.
There was one review that gave it like a C+ grade rating. I remember reading that on Yahoo Movies. Some guy gave it a C+, but even his reasons, I read through like, no.
You're full of it.
I don't agree with you. No, you're wrong.
All right. Fair enough. All right. Let's talk about what's hitting theaters this weekend.
This weekend, we're having the Wachowski brothers in Speed Racer. I've seen the movie. I can't talk about it. Warner Brothers has their cone of silence from Get Smart on me, so I can't talk about it till next weekend. But also,
we won't be talking about it next weekend, which we'll get to in a minute. Yeah,
so you'll get that. But what does open is Cameron Diaz and Ashton Kutcher in What Happens in Vegas.
Another, which you saw.
Which I did see last night, and it was a national sneak preview, so everybody's seen it.
Is there any reason to watch it, or should you just go see Maid of Honor?
See Maid of Honor, or if you're looking for something that's a little nastier than Maid of Honor, then go see Forgetting Sarah Marshall again. Because What Happens in Vegas, there are some laughs, and Ashton and Cameron really work hard in this movie. They're really working to milk the laughs, but the characters are not likable. The movie isn't that funny. And it's the kind of movie you watch on an airplane or because, like, well, I'll Netflix it, see if it's any good. But really, it's just...
Okay, is it the kind of movie you watch on an airplane or is it the movie you kind of half watch while you're taking a nap on the airplane?
or you're basically, like, killing time until the plane actually lands in Vegas. Yeah, it's one of those. Few funny things in the movie, I'll admit. A few scenes, a few bits of dialogue made me laugh, but it wasn't very good. It's not a very distinguished movie. If it opened in the spring, I think it would have done very well, but even opening up against Speed Racer feels like it's asking for trouble. Yeah, I can't imagine this movie lasting. It's not very good, especially when compared to Maid of Honor, compared to any of the stuff, and you know, considering that it has the Sex and the City movie coming up, I can't imagine this movie being around in June.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about the craptacular DVDs that are coming out next week.
Well,
there's a lot of crap in there.
Yeah. Okay. We'll start with the crap because there's some good stuff, but there is some crap. All right. Well, this is a lot of January garbage.
You just are like, you're hesitant to even talk about it.
Okay. I'll start with this one. All right. Katie Holmes, Diane Keaton, and Queen Latifah, the triple threat right there in Mad
Money. The
movie
she gave up Batman for.
Why did you do it, Katie? Why? Mad Money, which did not make Mad Money at the box office. And then Diane Lane in Untraceable, a film which disappeared without a trace from the box office after about a week. And apparently I've heard it's one of the most vile, vile thrillers in a long, long time. I've heard it's like, in some respects, it even out Hostel's Hostel in certain parts. It's supposed to be really, really sick stuff.
Okay.
But hey, it's got Diane Lane, so hey. From the Oprah Factory, The Great Debaters, I've seen this movie. You know, it's fine.
You
but
were
it's,
the one.
I am the one. I saw it on Christmas Day with my family. But anyway, it's available in the 2-disc and 1-disc special edition. You know, this is a good movie for class, I'll admit. It's about the South, the way things were quite a while ago before things were much, much better.
But why did this get a 2-disc release as opposed to, you know, MST3K, the movie?
I'm guessing just asking. Because teachers could, like, use it for their class, I guess, as supplements. I don't know. I don't know. Why is Van Wilder a 3-disc special edition? I don't know. It's a sick world we live in.
Okay, point made.
Yes. And then it gets better. One of last year's best films. One of my favorite films of last year. No one agrees with me, but Francis Ford Coppola's Youth Without Youth. Beautiful, wonderful film. I think it'll finally get discovered on DVD. It was essentially ignored by everyone but me when it was in theaters. And then Indiana Jones 1-3. And the first one's been retitled Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark. So now you get a mouthful to rememorize.
There's one reason to own any of these movies. Forget the extra features. Forget all the millions of dollars they spent on extras and interviews and archival materials. If I remember correctly, disc one of each film has on it, pop it in your Xbox 360, it's got the demo for Lego Indiana Jones.
Oh, neat.
That's all you need.
That's cool.
That's all you need.
That's cool. And if someone has
I'm not,
not
going to be upgrading to this because I've already got the 4-disc original.
Likewise. Yeah, and I've got them on VHS, but they're all letterboxed, and it's all, you know, as originally done, and they have a special making of talk with Harrison Ford and Spielberg and Lucas afterwards. Like, I don't really want this.
You know, quick random side note, Last Crusade was the first Laserdisc I ever saw.
Really?
That was, and it blew my mind. I was like, I can't believe a movie looks this good. Yeah, fast forward to today.
You know, I had the same thing with The Abyss. My Uncle Ray showed me The Abyss on Laserdisc, and it was with the alternate ending, which I had not seen at that point. I'm like,
the director's cut like the best, make it 10 times better than the original cut?
It really is. I love the movie as is, but the director's cut, it's a much more full movie. The ending makes so much more sense and feels more complete as opposed to a random, like, oh, let's... get together and clean up the planet Earth. Okay, space aliens live underwater. Like, it makes so much more sense that they're actually going to kill us. And then Ed Harris pleads for humanity's life. And
yes.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Yeah,
much... That was just for the vicar because he hasn't seen that version. I'm like, dude, you have to watch this.
And oh, yeah.
I don't think he has yet.
It really is, yeah. I mean, I think, honestly, it's my favorite James Cameron movie in that full, complete edition. Because I think the theatrical version, it's great, but it's uneven. You feel the stuff that's missing.
Yes, yes. Okay, enough about Rabbit Trail. Is there anything else on DVD, or is that...
No, that's it. Indiana and Youth Without Youth and three craptacular movies.
All right, then. Well, you know, I've been looking at our hits and stuff. I appreciate it. A lot of people have been listening to the show a bit more. We've been picking up a lot. I appreciate that very much. We write articles as well. Barry writes the lion's share of them because he's a writing machine. I have to kind of kick myself in the butt
to do
it.
I like to write.
Most, yes. So, yeah, check those out. It's always good stuff. I think we even have an RSS feed for the site itself, so you can even pop that in there and just check the articles as they pop up. But we have a contest as well.
Big old contest.
I kind of screwed up because I said we're going to pull the name for this next week, but I forgot that we're not doing a show next week. We're taking a week off, and then we'll be back the following week. But we are giving away a copy of Federico Fellini's 8.5, the Criterion 2 disc edition. I'm looking at it right now. It's pretty.
It's beautiful.
So
shiny.
It is, yes. I'm saying it here because we posted on the site, and we haven't had many entries. I will say we've had one correct entry so far. And
you, sir, are currently in the lead.
Yes, yes. You, right now, you're looking for the lock. But if you don't listen to, you know, the Film Snobs, or you don't read the site, we're doing a contest. We're giving this away. We're going to draw the name not next Sunday, the 11th, but the 18th. We'll be drawing the name. It's a trivia question. It's not too difficult. I'll let Barry ask it since he's the one who came up with it.
Which Joel Schumacher film references the opening of 8.5?
Pretty much directly. I think the opening is, yeah, it's pretty much taken directly from that. I think
most people, even if you haven't seen 8.5, most people know this. But
yes, yes. So shoot us an email to contest@screengeeks.com. I think I have the auto notifier responder saying we're drawing the name on the 11th. It's actually the 18th. My bad. I'll change that this afternoon. But yeah, you too can own a Criterion DVD for free. This is not in conjunction with Criterion. We'd love to work with them at some point, but I just really believe in them a lot and need to expose more people to their goodness.
Absolutely. We're exposing you to great films, so please, please enter our contest. Let's give that one guy who entered some real competition.
Yeah, exactly. And also review us on iTunes because, you know, we've never really tried to pimp ourselves much. We're actually going to be making a bumper here pretty soon. And we decided, hey, why not try to get bigger and actually get all of us legitimately into screenings and all that fun stuff. So yeah, to let people know, you know, about us. If we suck, let us know too. Shoot us an email. You can hit us podcast@screengeeks.com, or you can do Dave, Barry, Josh, Ethan, soon to be Nate, all at screengeeks.com. And yeah, so I guess we'll just wrap this bad boy up. But until next week, this is Dave.
This is Barry.
Take it easy. Enjoy the couple weeks off. We should have made like a double length. We'll make up for it. In, I don't know, a couple weeks, I guess. But yeah, until then, take it easy.
See you then.